My name is Mandy and I'm the RNLI Water Safety Officer for Wells Lifeboat Station, as well as being volunteer lifeboat crew on both the boats that we have there. This podcast is part of a small library of local knowledge that we've been using to raise awareness regarding water safety locally. You can find them all on the Sea Safety page of wellslifeboat.org website. Today, I want to cover the great tidal cut-off prevention work that the 100% RNLI-funded lifeguards do over their summer season. So I'll be down in the lifeguard hut on a very rainy July morning. Those of you that follow Wells RNLI on Facebook and Instagram will be aware already of the high numbers of tidal cut-off casualties there have already been in 2025. In 2024, Wells volunteer lifeboat crews rescued 43 people. By the 23rd of June 2025, more than 43 people had already been rescued, and most of those people were cut off by the tide. 36 of the people that were cut off by the tide were caught out on the sandbar just west of Wells Channel, which can be exposed at low water. The purpose of this podcast is to explain why, and I don't want to tempt fate here, however, since the introduction of the lifeguard's all-terrain vehicle, the ATV, there have been no inshore lifeboat call-outs during the lifeguard's shifts, even though the probability of tidal cut-off is much higher due to the increase in numbers of beachgoers over the summer.
Start. So if you can start, if you can just let me know your name and how long you've worked for the RNLI at Wells.
Of course, yeah, I'm Harry Yarlow. I've been the RNLI lifeguard for the past 6 years or so, starting in 2019. Worked Wells near enough all of those 6 years, had a whole season here during the COVID year as well too. Senior lifeguard on this beach now.
Brilliant. So obviously the all-terrain vehicle, the ATV that you have, is a relatively new introduction. So before you had the ATV, what were the lifeguards' sort of roles and responsibilities pre-ATV?
So prior to the ATV, we used to have to survey the sandbars that we currently still have, or previously hadn't appeared into their severity now, but were starting to cause hazards, so to speak.
Yeah.
And had to throw them manually on foot, particularly with a board if there had to be a rescue out to that point, or just using our rescue tube and having to run to the extent of probably 1.5 kilometres or so too, so it's quite an extensive area to patrol.
Yeah, massive. And obviously whilst you were over there, you weren't patrolling between the flags, must have been a limit to how much work you could have done at the remote parts of the beach.
Of course, yeah, so we've only got 3 lifeguards patrolling Wells daily, so obviously limiting our operational capabilities if we did have one going off to the far sandbars, but then level 2 guards, one potential to hurt, one potential between the flags, and if an incident to still occur, then we're still spreading ourselves even thinner.
Yeah. So it's brilliant now. The last few years we've had the ATV, so you've been able to patrol the sandbars. When we're talking about sandbars, I'm talking about to the west of Wells Channel, the remote parts of the beach, so they're only exposed really in the few hours before and after low tide. So you can get out there more quickly, obviously.
Absolutely right, yeah. So these sandbars are forever changing, so they've never been sort of fixated in this one position. We've had more grow over the years, or other cut-off points become a bit more apparent too. And using this ATV has been a massive improvement for us in the way we can patrol and operate around those sandbars in preventative actions, so going and speaking to people on the bars as the tide turns or as the siren sounds and wells, signifying the cutoffs are in effect, so to speak, too.
Yeah, so you're going out when the siren sounds for the 4 hours before high tide.
Absolutely. We tried to do a couple more, maybe one before, if we know there's an extensive amount of people as the tide turns. One definitely on the alarm most days, or every day, so to speak, and then one probably after if we do spy people still trying to venture across.
Okay, and obviously Coast Watch are also keeping an eye out.
Yes.
Are they communicating with you to let you know that there's people on the sandbar?
Absolutely. Coast Watch have been a massive help towards us because they've got a better overview, I suppose.
Yeah, well, they're higher up, aren't they?
That's exactly that. They've got better optics as well. The binoculars are a bit more powerful, so they can see further. This happened yesterday as well, where we'd done our sweep of the sandbar. I was walking past the Coast Watch, and they let me know there's still some people going out there. So I went back over onto the quad bike, used it effectively, went and got these people back out, who were definitely on the way out to be cut off.
Brilliant. So they would have been a lifeboat shout had the lifeguards not been here.
Absolutely right. That's absolutely perfect. Right, yeah.
So on a normal, whatever normal is on Wells Beach, on a normal day when you're doing your patrols, what sort of things are you seeing?
We're trying to look for primarily families with a lot of kit and equipment who could potentially be at higher risk if they're cut off by the tide.
Okay,
so
yeah.
It's common to see people wading back through, possibly even knee-depth water, holding bags above their heads.
Yeah.
These are sort of heavier objects that can obviously weigh them down or would struggle more if they were having to cry and cross back over the channel. But we're just trying to let everyone and anyone know on those spits as well too that the tide has turned. Whether if they're aware of the alarm or not, or whether if they're local or tourists and new to the area and such, letting anyone and everyone just know that they're at risk of being cut off and potentially causing a lifeboat shout.
Yeah, I mean, I know from Coast Watch, we've had reports from them saying, you know, we've had dads with very young babies up to their chests in water carrying babies above their head, which frightens the living daylights out of me.
Absolutely does, yeah.
It's not for me, it's not the people that call 999 because they realise they've been cut off by the tide that call out the lifeboat.
Mm.
It's those people that try to wade that are putting themselves in real danger.
This is it, yeah, they put themselves in danger as well as other people too, like you're saying, carrying children above their heads if they're not particularly strong swimmers. If you suddenly get stressed, you've then got another casualty in the water too.
Yeah.
On top of that, it could be people going out to help someone wading.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely right.
You are right, it's not just necessarily themselves that are at risk, it is others that are putting themselves in danger too.
And you doing that preventative tidal cut-off is saving all of that.
Absolutely, yeah.
So we're saving people having to wade back or call the lifeboat, which is brilliant.
This,
and it's stopping putting people inadvertently putting themselves actually in massive danger.
Of course, yeah, people don't often know that they are in danger themselves until we go over and highlight the fact that the tide's coming from behind them or what the alarm actually meant to. Some people are just blissfully unaware, which is no fault of their own. Sometimes it's just they can miss the signs, but we do try and have as much interaction with the public and letting them know what the hazards are before it is too late, so to speak, too.
That's brilliant. Mm. And that is one of the biggest rules of the lifeguards, isn't it? Being that proactive water safety messaging rather than going into the water. That's the last resort, isn't it, really?
Absolutely
for the lifeguards.
Right. Yeah, we try to sort of follow the sort of creed of prevention more than reaction to.
Definitely.
So we can stop things before they happen. It makes our jobs a bit stress-free. Everyone's keeping top of things. It's a, proactive lifestyle definitely is better for us than reactive.
And if people are not putting themselves in danger in the first place, that's superb.
100% right,
Brilliant. So on busy days where Wells Beach is like people's soup and we've got lots of people on the beach, that far part of the remote parts of the beach can be very alluring to people because you get much less people out there. So on days like that, when you've had the ATV and you're doing the patrols, what sort of thing are you seeing there?
We're seeing particularly lots of families go over, dog walkers or just extensive walkers, enjoying the views. It is a really beautiful sight to see Wells from afar, looking over the landscapes they've got. However, so that's growing in numbers on those busy days in particular when heat would get and like you're saying, it's alluring practice to it. And to that extent, we have had to sweep off about 50 to 60 people at a time.
Gosh.
I remember once on the ATP2, just let them know that the tide's turned and making their way back in. We do hang around as well to make sure everyone has got off that spit and is adhering to our advice too. So even though we've done the one sweep, we don't just then come back to station. We stand by and make sure that everyone is actually making the way back off.
That's brilliant.
Providing assistance if required as well too.
So do you ever have issues where you warn people and they say, oh no, I'm all right, I'll just hang on for a bit?
Of course, there have been some times, and it is difficult to obviously express how urgent this is to people.
Yes.
Lots of people aren't going to be as savvy, so to speak, or maybe a bit more sort of stubborn or set in their ways that they want to enjoy the walk, and we completely understand that. However, they need to be aware of the danger that they're putting themselves in and potentially that they're putting others into if they were trying to assist them, for example lifeboat crews, lifeguards themselves. We do the best we can to try and encourage these people to come back the other side. Ultimately, if they are being that difficult to deal with, we still do stand by, make sure that they're making their way back across safely. Move your bags back to the safe areas.
Yeah.
Go off your walk so you're not having to carry stuff on the way back too.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, it could often be just even alerting the lifeboat to be on standby because there's these people out on the spit too who will need rescue ultimately.
Yeah, because as it, with the RNLI, with the lifeguards and the lifeboat, we can't force anybody to do anything. We're there to help save them. No, that's really good. So thanks, Harry, that's brilliant. It's quite easy to see now why those
preventative tidal cut-off patrols by the lifeguards are so effective. Just as a little roundup, I'd just like to highlight a couple of things that we talked about during the podcast. One was the siren. The siren sounds 4 hours before Wells Bar high tide time. There is a significant risk of tidal cut-off after the siren is sounded, so you need to make your way to the main part of the beach, dry sand or dry land, immediately when you hear the siren. The collaboration with Coastwatch and the lifeguards has been amazing, and that helps to keep people that little bit safer, because they're able to see much further than the lifeguards, and the two organisations working together produce really effective results, which is great. I just want to highlight that wading, if you are cut off by the tide, wading in water, anything above your knee, can be incredibly dangerous. Some of those drains are very deep, over 2 metres, and the bottom of the drain is often muddy, so it's very easy to lose your footing, and that water really is moving fast. So please, if you are cut off by the tide, please call 999 and we will get there to you as quickly as we can. There is clearly a lack of awareness, despite the signage, social media and the water safety partners helping to spread the message. There is still a lack of awareness of the fact that tidal cutoff is a real risk in this area. Please try to avoid tidal cutoff by making sure you're back to the main part of the beach, dry sand or land, at least 4 hours before Wells Bar high tide time. And if you're able to share that message with your friends and family via social media or word of mouth, that would be fantastic. Also, a big thanks to all of the lifeguard teams for the great work that you're doing. I hope you really enjoy this beautiful beach. Have a great day. Bye.